Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, great to be here in Gray Falls. We are set up broadcasting live from the 63rd annual meeting for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Man, I think I've been here for at least a dozen or so of these 63 years. Gary Weens is the CEO of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Gary, up in a Highline, Montana native. Gary, it's always great to see you.
Good morning, Aaron. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks for hosting us, and thanks for joining us here in this extra 8 o'clock hour of the show, because you're stuck in meetings next hour, so we're glad we get to catch up with you.
Oh, you bet. It's great. Be on.
What are the big topics of conversation for this 63rd annual meeting?
The theme of our annual meeting is the reliability of electric cooperatives, and that's kind of speaking to co-ops make really good decisions because about power, about their delivery system, because they're so focused, being not-for-profit utilities, so focused on their members. They just want to serve them, do the very best, and so that helps them make releases. So reliability is, I think, probably the biggest issue that we're concerned about. There's a push by the Biden administration to try to force utilities to go to intermittent energy, wind and solar, which have a place, and we have intermittent energy on our systems, but we have to have that base load. So reliability is the biggest concern. There's certainly wildfire and just things like that, concerns about wildfire liability and all that.
But, you talk reliability, man. I, as a member of Yellowstone Valley Electric Cooperative myself, and we've got listeners that are members of Flathead Electric Cooperative, a ton of electric cooperative listeners all across our listening area right now. But we get to be somewhat insulated from what goes on at the national level. I think over a decade, I didn't see a rate increase locally, even though everywhere else it seemed across the country rates were going up. In fact, national electricity inflation is up 30% in just the last 3.5 years alone. We've been relatively insulated from that, but as we were warned, you can't be insulated from what's going on at the national level forever.
No, and we're seeing that happen. Our co-ops are having to raise rates very reluctantly, but it's primarily because wholesale power supplies are going up. Bonneville Power Administration, Western Area Power, and then our other big suppliers, Basin Electric, and just because their costs are going up so much, and a lot of this is federal regulations they're worried about and things like that.
And inflation itself. I mean, the inflation that's hitting the rest of us in the pocketbook.
Yeah.
Well, if a new pickup for you costs more, what do you think a new bucket truck costs for these electric cooperatives?
Oh, it's an incredible increase. That's all having an impact. So it's, power supply comprises about typically 45-50% of a co-op's distribution co-op's total cost. So that's a big driver, but those materials issues are huge too.
Well, and thankfully, even if there has to be a rate increase, it's much smaller than what you're seeing elsewhere across the country, and sometimes even elsewhere in the state. Gary Weens, if you can stand by, we'll come back to you right after the break. And then we've also got Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter in the house for our live show from Great Falls.
Securing America.
American personnel responding to Tuesday's Iranian missile attack on Israel. Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Patrick Ryder on which American assets took action.
U.S. Navy destroyers deployed to the Middle East region supported the defense of Israel by firing approximately a dozen interceptors against the incoming Iranian missiles.
General Ryder says the Defense Department and its people are preparing for all eventualities.
Should Iran, its partners, or its proxies use this moment to target American personnel or interests in the region, the United States will take every necessary measure to defend our people.
Meanwhile, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan being even more direct.
We have made clear that there will be consequences, severe consequences for this attack, and we will work with Israel to make that the case.
While General Ryder adds U.S. forces have the ability to respond to any threats.
We mean what we say, and we say what we mean.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There is no question that television news largely ignored, with some exceptions, the absolute devastation in western North Carolina and eastern Tennessee. But by Monday, perhaps feeling that they had botched it, that they had blown it, started covering it more intensively. Meanwhile, Donald Trump brought supplies when he went to a shelter in Georgia and read off note cards saying that this is not a time for politics. However, later in the day, he said, for example, that Georgia's GOP Governor Brian Kemp had not been able to reach Joe Biden. But Kemp told reporters he did talk to the president, who offered that if there are other things we need, to just call him directly. Biden said he's lying, and the governor told him he was lying. I don't know why he does this. I don't care what he says about me. I care about what this communicates to people who are in need. Politics again. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to hearing Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter weigh in on the vice presidential candidate debate between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz last night, especially because the topic of school safety, school security, gun control, that was a major topic last night. And, of course, Tim Walz had some major stumbles on all of those topics last night as well. We'll chat with Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter here in just a second, because he's been huge with proactive thinking on actual school security ideas right here in Cascade County. But first, back to Gary Weems, the CEO of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Gary, man, what, 32 years you've been with MECA now, the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. 16 legislative sessions, I think you covered, doing government affairs for them. Can't believe you're retiring next year. That's crazy.
Yeah, I decided to, you know, I've got, if you saw my grandchildren, you'd go, well, you got to retire, because they're just so amazing. And we have four grandchildren. And want to move on to something else. Not sure what the else will be, but at this point, just want to move on. So it's been great, though. I work for the best people in Montana. They are amazing. They're, you know, I talked about what their motives are, and that's just to serve. And I think that's what makes them so amazing. They just out to serve.
What are some of your best memories, whether it's legislative sessions or just working with the co-ops over the years?
Thanks. Yeah, I think the one that sticks out in my mind most goes back to 1997. That's the year that some of the legislative leaders and then Governor Roscoe decided they wanted to do electricity deregulation. Large customers wanted that, and because they wanted to have choice of power supplier, nothing wrong with that. But they wanted to initially wanted to force the electric co-ops to go into dereg, and, you know, we're very focused on service, and our co-op said, no, we can't do that. We know what's going to happen, because we serve mostly residential people, and we know that they would have been hard hit by that. So we fought for getting local control, and the legislature said, okay, you can have local control. But it was really a turning point in the electric industry in Montana, because prior to that, I think people thought of electric co-ops as, oh, it's just a bunch of rural hicks. They don't know anything about electricity. But it turned out it was the electric co-ops that made the right decisions about power contracts. They said, we will take stability in rates over or getting the cheapest deal. And so they went for long-term contracts, power contracts, 10-year contracts, which others said, well, that's crazy. But it turned out it rode us through our electricity deregulation.
Yeah, because I remember in the year 2000, I was working for Senator Conrad Burns then. That electricity crisis hit, and those who did not have long-term contracts got absolutely hammered. And, of course, you know, Senator Burns, and we were all working overtime to try to find some deals for folks in the Flathead back then in particular. And and we made some things happen. But, these co-ops. And then as prices have skyrocketed elsewhere, the co-ops have kept their prices down and kept their rate hikes down. And so, Gary, we'll have to get you on for an extended amount of time before you officially retire.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us. And I know we're going to have you keep sending folks our way here until 10 a.m. when we wrap up this morning.
Sounds good. Great talking with you.
All right. Great talking with you as well. I think Doug Hardy's going to join us here in just a few minutes as well. He's with the Central Montana Electric Power Cooperative. He just won a big regional service award from the National Rural Electric Cooperatives Association. Great to have Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter here in the house. You know, Sheriff, it's always fun doing a show like this, especially when we're out on the road, but you never know how many people are going to show up or when they're going to show up. You know, people are in meetings, and so what better sidekick to have than the sheriff himself? So good to see you.
Hey, it's great to see you, Aaron. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you watched the debate last night.
I did watch the debate. It was amazing, I thought. I thought it was all-around good debate.
Cordial.
It was cordial, and I thought it was really what America wanted to see. You know, it really was issue based. It was really there. You know, I mean, you get into Trump and Kamala, and they kind of become, we kind of laugh, they've kind of become caricatures a little bit.
And the media makes it too personality based as well. Let me get that microphone off your cool guy beard. You got the cool guy attacking your beard going here. There we go.
Oh, there we go. Much better.
There we go. Yeah. They deliberately want to make it more of an entertainment-based, personality-driven one. And then, of course, you know, the fake news media moderators always want to interrupt Trump and attack Trump and make it against Trump. They did a little bit of that against J.D. Vance, it looked like, last night, but nowhere near as much.
Well, he wouldn't allow it. There was one question where they did that, and they started to kind of step on him. It was that one where they eventually cut the mics off. But he wouldn't allow it. And that's the art of, if you're going to be in a debate, you have to understand, I mean, it's debates are combat. It's verbal judo. And you have to know the issues. You have to be up on your material, and you have to have it. You can't be reading notes. You can't be looking at notes. You have to know your information. And if you know your information, you're educated on the issues, which I thought J.D. Vance was extremely educated on the issues. I mean, in probably, gosh, most of my adult lifetime, that's probably been the most educated political candidate I've seen. He was crisp. He was on point.
But he also wasn't phony. And he wasn't stiff. He connected with people. He showed the warmth. He showed that this is a real guy who grew up, the real deal. Like, he grew up in abject poverty. His mom was addicted to drugs. She's been clean and sober now for 10-plus years. We talked about the pride of his mom. But he connected with people last night is, I think, the biggest takeaway.
And no, the future of America is exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes me excited because it's like, that's the type of personality we need in the future of America.
Yeah, not only the guy who knew the issues and can handle the issues and dominated Tim Walz on that front. Meanwhile, Tim Walz just had that bug-eyed, crazy-eyed look the whole time, like, who am I? Why am I here? What are we doing right now? All right, stand by. More with Sheriff Slaughter after this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Congress did not include a batch of funding to respond to natural disasters in the spending bill approved last week. Many lawmakers pushed for the inclusion of that provision. But lawmakers did make sure that FEMA can spend down its coffers more quickly to respond to Helene. FEMA's Disaster Relief Fund, or DRF, has sufficient money to respond to immediate needs in the aftermath of Helene. That means FEMA has enough money to provide food and medicine to those who need it. However, it's likely that a storm of this magnitude will require a supplemental tranche of money down the line. It will take weeks, if not months, to determine how much is necessary. Congress was already wrestling with additional money to the recent spending package to address tornadoes which spun through Iowa and the wildfires last year in Hawaii. Lawmakers must now include money for those crises and Helene in the next spending plan due December 20th. Ironically, one of the reasons Congress left town 2 days early was to accommodate members from Florida and elsewhere in the South ahead of Helene. They didn't want to be mired in Washington. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Democracy 24.
Republican Senator J.D. Vance and Democratic Governor Tim Walz faced off in the CBS vice presidential debate, hitting on a range of issues. Senator Vance argued states are better suited to take on the issue of abortion.
We have a big country, and it's diverse. And California has a different viewpoint on this than Georgia. Georgia has a different viewpoint from Arizona.
Governor Walz said immigration reform could have happened in Congress, but was stopped by former President Trump.
Because it gives him a campaign issue. It gives him what would Donald Trump talk about if we actually did some of these things?
They also clashed on their ideas of threats to democracy.
Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
This debate will likely be the last before America votes in November. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I got some messages on our Montana Talks app during and after the debate last night. Tim and Savage, I got to catch up with him earlier this morning. This was the soundbite that stood out to him, where he sent us a message on the Montana Talks app where Tim Walz, the Democrat vice presidential candidate, the governor of Minnesota, was basically saying, well, sometimes it's just the guns. It's just the guns. You know, not the people, you know, committing the crime with the guns. It's just the guns. Travis will roll the audio for us.
And I think what we end up doing is we start looking for a scapegoat. Sometimes it just is the guns. It's just the guns. And there are things that you can do about it.
Yeah, not the criminals, Sheriff Jesse Slaughter. It's just the guns.
It's just the car. You know, cars kill more people than guns. You know, it's just the donuts. People are dying all over this world from, you know, obesity and heart disease and all these other things. You know, it's just the food additives. You know, I mean, we can go on and on about this. The problem is we don't have a gun problem in America. We have a family problem. We broke down the family in America so badly now that, and I know really good people, myself included, who struggle with family dynamics that we shouldn't be struggling with. And it's because our government for decades now has whittled away at family. They've taken God out of everything. They've taken God out of school. They've done all these things to break down the family dynamic, and that's why we're having the violence.
Replaced churches with governments to be, you know, that social support program.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, that's a great point. But the slip-up that Walz had, it was kind of a flub. I don't think he meant to say this, but he said, I've become friends with school shooters. And so that was obviously like, okay, he obviously screwed up there. It was a flub. But there was a conversation about school safety and gun control and all of that. But you've actually been working on actual school safety plans. You first told us about it, a year or two ago?
Yeah.
And you've been implementing this plan now.
I don't know if you saw my Facebook video the day after the Georgia shooting, but I did a big Facebook video. You can look it up on the Cascade County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. But we rolled out the whole plan right there. And we have multiple layers. You know, the thing about protecting our children in schools is this. There's no one answer for it. It's a multitude of things. But here's the challenge that government needs to understand. You've already messed up the schools. You've already messed up the families. And now the next phase is, well, let's take away the rights of the law-abiding citizen in the hopes that we protect good people from being harmed by evil people. And it's just absurd. You know, all you're doing is increasing your chances for violence in our country. That's all you're doing. You know, Venezuela's got amazing gun control, and they have some horrific crime. You know, we've seen that over and over again. So the thing I think people need to understand is this, is you have to have multiple layers. You have to have a layer of detection, early detection. You have to detect who those people are in your schools that are your risk, okay? And that's a very fragile thing, because there's a lot of, I mean, we have a constitution in this country. We have to be careful, but risk assessments are very important. So you have to do risk assessments daily in schools. The next step is you have to have some early warning system. So we hooked up with a company called Emergent 3. It's basically a panic button for all the teachers. And it's a direct, like, Amber Alert, for lack of a better term, to all law enforcement. They literally can push a button on their phone, on their desktop, talk or text the emergency. The other thing it does is law enforcement and active shooters for years had to go find the shooter. Well, you know how we found shooters? We listened to the gunshots. Think about how morbid that is. Every time that trigger is pulled, a child dies. And that's how we run down halls to try to find you to eliminate the threat. Well, now with this early technology, early detection, it not only tells you what going on in the school, but it'll allow the teacher to tell you exactly where the perpetrator is. The other thing we did is we brought in artificial intelligence to the school. We got a grant. And artificial intelligence that detects guns. And basically the idea is it's in the cameras, and it sends the same alert over the same app to law enforcement saying, "This there's a gun branded." There's a dispatcher that mediates it and makes sure it's good.
But get more of that immediate notification so that law
enforcement
the exact location, the school's aware of the threat. Maybe they even see somebody on the camera system or on the front doorbell thing, and they're like, wait a minute, boom, we got a threat right now. And then there's another angle to this, Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, stand by if you can, because, okay, you know, the first responders have gotten the notification to show up, but it's going to take them some time to get there. What do you do? Who's the immediate responder? Wait till you hear about this. More with the sheriff here in just a second. But first, we are broadcasting live from the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association 63rd annual meeting. Doug Hardy has been with Electric Cooperatives now for almost 50 years. He's the CEO of the Central Montana Electric Power Cooperative. Just got a big regional award from the NRECA for service. And, Doug, first off, congratulations on that and your many years of service. What do you want to tell folks all across Montana right now? What are some of the issues that you're seeing going on when it comes to electric reliability, electric power, et cetera?
Thank you, Aaron. One of the things we're working on with a lot of focus is on reliability in terms of generation. You can have the best transmission in the world. If you don't have enough generation, the power doesn't stay on. If you look at what happened in 2001, when there were some outages across much of the nation in an extreme weather event, it came in and basically a lot of generation didn't show up. The wind didn't show up because the wind wasn't blowing. Some of the gas didn't because they didn't necessarily have the gas lines weatherized in the southern part enough. And a number of reasons. The solution is the amount of generation has to match the amount of load. If it doesn't, you've either got to increase generation or decrease load. And if you can't decrease generation, that means rolling blackouts. We're working hard to see that that doesn't happen. We spend millions of dollars on our poles and wires to make sure the power stays on all the time and as close as it can to with Mother Nature. But if the generation isn't there, you're not. You've had the shutdown of Centralia, Clint Eastwood, I think I'm going to see him coming.
Yeah, great ringtone I just heard.
Dave. Yeah. So you shut down large coal-fired plants, Centralia, Boardman in the West, and some scheduled for Wyoming, a number in the Midwest, and you're not necessarily getting dispatchable generation, meaning something that is there no matter what, that can run for hours and hours or days and days as the weather permits. Because usually when you get those extreme hot weather in the summer or hot or cold weather in the winter, it's several days. It's fairly stagnant that you're just sitting there. So one thing we're working on in Montana is coming up with working for agreement without a law by working together with all the different people to have different entities buying power or providing power to carry more reserves. So if you have a load of 1,000 megawatts, you may need to have 1,200 megawatts of generation because it won't always be there. Sometimes you're scheduling it for outage, and everything mechanical can break. One thing I'm pretty
pleased about, purely from a standpoint of power reliability in Montana, is the reciprocal gas generators they're putting down at Laurel. I know they're not popular in a lot of places. It's Northwestern Energy's, not ours. But yet the grid is one unit. If they have that dispatchable down there, that gives them another way to ramp up and down. This is more variable generation.
What's good for the grid is good for the grid because, yeah, as you pointed out, we've got a tax on hydropower in the Pacific Northwest. We've got a tax on coal. They've already tapped coal strip 1 and 2. They're trying to take out coal strip 3 and 4, but yet we've got incredible amounts of more and more electric demand constantly being added to it. In your 50 years in this industry, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we got the lights turned on across Montana, right? I mean, Mike Cuff in Eureka could tell you he was there when they actually got electricity for the first time, and he's not joking. And yet here we are in that short time window, and we're seeing threats to basic things like electricity now.
As society moves to greater reliance on electricity, we're moving to policies that decrease reliability. That's rather nonsensical.
That's a great point. Yeah, the more reliant we become on it, the more we need it, yet the more we also try to reject the very sources that provide the power for it. Well, Doug Hardy, CEO of Central Montana Electric Power Cooperative, congrats on your big award and the recognition.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for being with us. Great to have you here on the show. Anything else you want to tell folks across Montana?
Be safe.
Be safe, yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, speaking of BCF, thank you so much, Doug. Was be safe. That's the school safety conversation we've been having with Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter. So, Sheriff, you were talking about this school safety plan that you're implementing across Cascade County and in schools already, right? This early warning system. Okay, the early warning goes out. The first responders get the alert. But you're a first responder, and we're so thankful for all of our law enforcement and first responders out there. But who's the immediate responder going to be? You've got a plan on that front, too.
Yeah, so one of the other layers that we've implemented is a undercover armed staff that are in our schools. And we at the Cascade County Sheriff's Office train them, provide the equipment, do all the policy, provide the use of force, everything. We do it right. And we spend several tens of thousands of dollars a year to do it right. This isn't something like what people say is, oh, you're just going to give a teacher a firearm and they get a concealed weapon permit and they're in a school. That's not what this is. That's absolutely not what it is. In fact, their standard is actually higher than a deputy sheriff's standard for qualification. The distances are greater and the percentages are higher. It's a 90% qualification. It's rigorous.
So these could be teachers. They could be janitors. We'll never say. But that's the point. If you know who the security guard is, well, then you know who the enemy knows who to target.
Well, but we also layer it. This is the other thing. We have undercover staff of our own that we also deploy. So we work in conjunction with each other. We train with each other. But it's a full encompassing, type of system that we built that makes it a hard target. And so, at the end of the day, if we do it right, 10 years from now, people will be mad at me. Why are we spending $600,000 a year on this program? Nothing's happened. And I'll say, exactly. That's how we won.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's incredible. All right. Sheriff Slaughter is going to stick with us through the rest of the hour, plus more guests joining us.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, we got more great folks stepping up to the microphone here in Great Falls for the 63rd annual Montana Electric Cooperatives Association annual meeting. And before we go back to Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter here talking more about the VP debate last night, school safety and security and much more, we've got Andrea Dahl with MECA, with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, here with us now. She is the youth tour coordinator. So for those of you who are members of electric cooperatives like myself, your kids have a great opportunity. Andrea, great to see you.
Good morning. Thank you. So, yeah, incoming juniors and seniors in 2025 have a great opportunity to join us on an all-expenses-paid trip to D.C.
And this could be one, two, maybe even three kids from all of the various electric cooperatives all across Montana.
Correct. Yep. So we've got 25 electric cooperatives across Montana, and, you know, some of our co-ops traditionally send two or three kids. Some of them only send one, but everyone's got an opportunity to fill out an application and apply, and it really is a great growth opportunity for kids. You know, it pushes some of them out of their comfort zone, but it's a great opportunity to make new friends, not only across the state, but across the country. Last year, there was 45 other states that participated in this event, and we do partner up with those states and do some different things in D.C. So great opportunity to meet new people and have new experiences.
So like I did Washington Close Up when I was a senior in high school. I'm assuming this tour is very similar to that, except for this is all expenses paid and is run by your electric cooperative. So you're going to get, you know, direct engagement with your policymakers, your lawmakers, see the memorials and the big sites as well. How old do kids have to be?
So they've got to be incoming juniors or seniors. So it's a good opportunity. We always have a day on Capitol Hill, get to meet with our delegation and do tours of the Capitol. So we get that piece of it. You're doing the monuments, seeing the sites, this, you know, things that you expect to see in D.C., learning more about the electric cooperatives. What do they do? How are they important to your community? So it really is a nice all-around experience that you're getting to.
What's the highlights from your perspective for the youth tour?
You know, so this will be my first time actually going on the trip. I've planned it the last couple of years and worked with our government relations director, Mark Lambrecht. He's gone on it. And, you know, I think the biggest takeaway is these kids are coming as kind of strangers. They don't, a lot of them don't know each other, and they leave as lifelong friends, and everything else in between is just an added experience. You know, you're getting firsthand experiences with the monuments and with your delegation and with kids from other states, and there's so much packed into the 6 days that it's hard to sum it up in one little bit.
Well, so the best thing to do, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you? But then obviously contacting your local electric cooperative. So if you're in Livingston, get a hold of Park Electric. If you're in the Flathead, get a hold of Flathead Electric, et cetera.
Yep. Definitely check with your local co-ops. You can check our website, that mtco-ops.com, or our Facebook page, either the MECA Facebook page or there's a Montana Youth to DC Facebook page. We'll be posting information on that. So find us on social media or websites, and that can help direct you to your local co-op.
All right. Andrea Dahl, thanks for dropping in and seeing us. And
thanks so much for having
us here at the annual meeting.
Yes, thank you.
All right. And most of those deadlines, again, they can vary, but she was telling me that the deadlines for the various electric cooperatives, a lot of those are coming up in November and December. So jump on it today to get your kids to be potentially a part of this. All right, Andrea, thanks again for joining us. Back to it here with Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter. First off, big thanks to you for showing up and joining us here this morning, because I never know how many people are going to be with us, and it's hard for me to take phone calls when I'm on the road, so I get a little out of my element. But man, I didn't think you were going to be with us, because, you know, being the sheriff, you got, you know, Adam Schiff happens, you know, and so you were like, man, I don't think I can make it in. I got a phone call in the middle of the night, but hey, you made it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate it. So,
oh, yeah, it's my honor. You know, what great Americans you've had on. Is that three great Americans that have been sitting here since I've been here that are just doing great things for our community, and it's just awesome.
Well, I was thinking about this youth tour, because some people are probably thinking, whoa, why does that matter, sending a bunch of kids to Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
Well, for one, it's important for these electric cooperatives, because it tells those policymakers and others back there that it reminds them of the localness and the grassrootsness. pardon my bad English here, but... It shows you how connected these co-ops are to their communities. And so when they show up, you're talking to real people. You're not just talking to a bunch of policy wonks or a bunch of wannabe pretend politicians. You're talking to real people. But also, we got to invest more in these future generations.
I was just going to say,
give a dang.
The future of America.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, it's weird. When I was in high school and stuff, I didn't care about electric co-op. I didn't care about agriculture. You know, I cared about things like football. and probably girls. You know, I mean, you just, when you're young, and so offering something up like this where you take them out of their element, you expose them to something, and it's a trip to D.C., which that would be exciting for any kid. They get to learn a lot. It really exposes them, and I wish somebody would have done, you know, I wish I would have had that type of opportunity when I was young, because it might have exposed me earlier to all the things now that I'm super passionate about.
Well, it's like I remember seeing you and your wife downtown Bozeman before the Trump rally, and I was so excited to be at the Trump rally myself, but I was more excited that two of my three kids were at the Trump rally.
Yeah.
So that they could witness the process.
Yeah.
They could hear the speeches. They could not just see Donald Trump and hear his message, but just witness the American political process and get engaged in the debates and the ideas, whether they agree with everything he says or not. I want them to see the crowd and see that, hey, you can get excited about things other than just football games, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the best speech of that entire night was Tim Sheehy. He knocked it out of the park. His little stump speech of, you know, people are out in Montana, they want common sense, and he's like, cheap gas, cheap groceries, you know, cops are good, criminals are bad, boys are boys, girls are girls. I mean, his little thing he does at the end of all,
yeah,
he has got that down so well. And I remember watching him early on in his campaign, and he's Annapolis grad, so he's a super smart guy.
Yeah.
But he was nowhere near as prepped in prayer. And one of the things that impresses me about him that I really liked, and it really came through in that arena, and I've seen it since, is how much information he can say in like three sentences.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What I've liked about Tim Sheehy since the start of him campaigning is when we could be in a small conference room at a meet and greet at a coffee shop in Billings, or, you know, we could be at the Roadhouse Diner in Great Falls, right? And you feel, when he talks, you feel like you're sitting in the team room with a bunch of Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
Because that's just how he talks. He's on a mission. He's giving you the situation. He's giving you what the mission is. Mm-hmm. And going over the plan. And he's quick and he's to the point and he's concise. But he also talks like an everyday Joe as well, because that's who he is.
Well, that's okay. The secret to being in leadership and being successful as a leader is you can't talk over people's heads. If you start using big words and big concepts and you try to show, like, look how, you know, high. You know, my PR people tell me all the time, and I agree with this, talk to people at a third grade level. And it's not being demeaning, like people are dumb and they need to be talked to.
It helps if you're at the third grade level, like myself.
Me too.
Well, you know, I was talking about you getting that 1 a.m. phone call, and so I was reaching out to our buddy John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, and I was like, hey, John, do you want to join me in the 8 o'clock hour? Because I want to save most of our co-op interviews for the 9 o'clock hour. I don't, you know, because... And so then we can cover, you know, some of the national stuff here in the 8 o'clock hour. And so he was going to join me, you know, through my remote equipment. But don't worry, you're going to get debate reaction tomorrow, because John Jackson is going to cover the 8 o'clock hour of Thursday's show while I get set up at the equipment dealers convention in Whitefish tomorrow. So you're going to get a full hour of John Jackson tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour. It's going to be fun. But just, you know, and that's part of the fun of talking with guys like you. Like, you know, we feel like we're cruising around in the patrol car with you, having real conversations, not a bunch of just canned, fake, phony political BS.
Well, the thing about it is you could kind of run away from that if you're going to be, you know, the difference between, especially me as a sheriff versus lawmakers, and what I mean by that is your senators and your congressmen and your local legislators, sometimes they can go down the road of kind of being political and get on political talking points. As a sheriff, I can't really do that. And the reason I can't is I have to pivot away from it oftentimes very quickly, is you're responsible for leading men and women into danger, plus an entire community. So you have to start engaging people in an honest conversation, being super real, because, you know, if you fail, you're kind of two branches, right? You have this leadership role that you have to take on, plus you have the political role you take on. And if you fail or get insincere on one of them, they collapse down. People recognize it, and it ruins both of them for you. So you got to be really careful.
Speaking of a Navy SEAL veteran, Tim Sheehy, he's going to be in Great Falls along with Louisiana U.S. Senator John Kennedy.
Yep.
That guy's a character.
Yeah.
They're doing a rally, I think, up near the airport
yep.
at 11:30 today. So you'll
yep.
be at that rally
yep.
as well.
Yep.
I would go to a rally just if Sheriff Slaughter was speaking at the rally, just in itself.
But well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's an exciting opportunity. We need him for Montana and the country. We really do.
You had him. I think, wasn't he your first guest on your Pursuit podcast?
He was.
A great podcast, if you haven't.
It was. It actually just got picked up by, I don't know, some other big group, and they're starting to replay that podcast elsewhere, too, on the internet.
So. Oh, interesting. Yeah. So check out Sheriff Slaughter's Pursuit podcast on your favorite podcast platform as well. All right, another quick break here. Just a few minutes left. We'll finish up the hour with Sheriff Slaughter after this.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Harris and Biden have been too accommodating to the radical anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, pro-Hamas radicals that make up too big a part of their Democratic Party. And as a result, it has made the entire region and the entire world less safe, less secure, and it has made everything more dangerous. If you couple the radicalism of the mullahs in Iran with nuclear weapons, if that day ever comes, then I will tell you, you know, we are at risk of a modern day Holocaust. You know, their appeasement, their accommodation has failed, and it's now resulted in Israel fighting a four-front war.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, everyone. Biden may have dropped out of the race, but he's not done just yet. Will he jam through his hidden tax trap at the last second, right before he goes, where he could raid your retirement funds, supercharge your income taxes, increase utility and gas prices, and inflate costs on things you need to live? Some or all of this could affect you or your family in one way or another. So if you want to wait and see, you may as well kiss your retirement savings goodbye. The good news is you can get prepared, but you better hurry. Reach out to GoldCo today to learn how precious metals could help you protect yourself and your family. They're offering you a free 2024 gold and silver kit, plus up to a 10% instant match and bonus silver on qualified accounts. All you have to do is visit HannityGold.com. HannityGold.com. Your retirement funds, income taxes, gas prices could all be affected. Visit HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com.
Paid for by GoldCo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thank you for years to come. Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Hey, real quick, I want to put another reminder out there. If you are a veteran or if you are a family member of a veteran or you know a veteran, our friends at Yellowstone Family Dental are doing a really cool deal. They've got a committee set up together. They're taking nominations right now. They want to award a veteran with free services. And this is a huge service. They have dental implants. They have some of the best services when it comes to dental implants. They can redo your whole grill, upper set of teeth, your lower set of teeth. So check them out, even if you're not a veteran. If you're somebody who's got dentures that are giving you problems, or if you've got a bunch of missing or failing teeth, just a whole bunch of teeth problems that are bothering you, that affect your confidence levels, you don't even want to smile at people for whatever reason, I'm telling you, get a hold of Yellowstone Family Dental. But if you know a veteran who could use that service, or if you are that veteran who are like, man, I could really use some dental implants, you can nominate a veteran right now, and then they're going to select a winner. A recipient to get their free services. So huge value, huge deal. go to MontanaDentalImplants.com, MontanaDentalImplants.com. Sheriff, you were so gracious to free up your time for us this morning. What do you want to talk about here in the final couple of minutes or so we got?
You know, so many things. Obviously, school safety is so near and dear to my heart. That's no secret. I talk about it all the time. We got to protect our future generations, and we got to get aggressive about it, but we got to do it in a way that we're not taking away rights from law-abiding citizens when we do it. The other thing, I'm on a big public relations campaign right now for our jail. Our jail is underfunded and no longer sustainable.
And at max capacity, like so many other jails.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been able to do something. I made a promise when I got elected, and I've held it up for 6 years now, that we were going to take everybody off the street. We weren't going to turn people away and arrest. And I've been able to keep that promise. The problem is now is our revenue to budget side. You can go on the Cascade County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. I'm very open about it. I'll be putting up graphs. I'll be doing Q&A live soon. It's no longer sustainable. And basically what's happened is there's not enough money in the county coffers to run the operation anymore. But we can't go to the public and ask for more money either.
Because the public's struggling.
The public's tapped out.
Inflation, high taxes, everything.
Yes,
yeah.
They're done. And so we're going to have to get really creative and get outside the box. I know that's cliche. But the problem with government is we keep doing it the same way over and over again, expecting somehow we're going to get a different result. And we're not. Nobody's coming to save us. More money isn't coming. We have to start looking at things differently. I've got some plans. I've got some ideas. But before I can talk to the people of Cascade County about some creative ideas and way we can solve this, they have to know the problem ahead of them first. Because if I don't, you have to establish what the problem is, and then I have to allow my bosses, the community, to help me get the solution. And that's the thing, is they have to have buy-in. And they have to understand how big of a crisis this really could be in the future years to come.
By the way, I saw, this is kind of a random one, I saw The Electric, a blog in Great Falls, had a story. Now, your county, not city, but apparently the city of Great Falls is looking to put in a Portland Loo. It's called a Portland Loo, a public bathroom in downtown Great Falls. This was a big controversy in Billings when they put that one in.
I don't think it's going to fly here. I know the mayor really well. He's my former undersheriff and the city commissioners, and I just don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to fly here. I think these are good intended people, and they've got great intentions. And I think the downtown businesses, some of them may like it because it's like, hey, they're not coming into our bathroom. That's good.
Yeah.
The problem,
but then you create a potential drug haven and all sorts of other behavior.
And what horrible crimes are going to happen in there?
Yeah.
It's not like you can install a camera in there. You can't. It's a bathroom. So it's like kind of that's what makes me nervous.
I just wish I had heard that terminology, Portland Loo, when Billings was debating it. Because you just hear Portland Loo and you hear Portland and you're like, Portland Loo. Ooh, that's the only response I can give. Sheriff, always a pleasure. Thanks for your service. Thanks to all your deputies for all they do.
Thanks. God bless.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. With the holiday shopping season on the way, many financial experts recommend that you use caution when you're offered a credit card by your favorite store. Most of the time, it makes sense to say no, according to Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate. They found that the average store-only credit card has an average annual percentage rate of 30.45%, which is much higher than the average APR of 20.78% for all credit cards. The APR is how much interest you'll be charged if you can't pay your balance in full every month. If you are being offered a store credit card, ask for something with all the details in writing to take with you to review. Oftentimes, store credit cards are tied with a promotion such as 0% interest for a year or a discount on your purchase. Before signing up, find out how much interest will be charged if cards aren't paid in full and any late or penalty fees. A lot of times, retail cards charge tremendously high interest rates. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.